This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
NFL draft starts tonight, round one today. Panthers on the clock first thing Friday. Mike Felder, Michael Felder, at In the Bleachers on Twitter. It's Felder, the Substack, our Mr. Football, football analyst extraordinaire, my friend. Are you extra excited for the draft? You're kind of chill about everything. How do you feel about the draft tonight?
I feel pretty good. I'm going to be in the air, actually. I'm not doing night one. Bleach Report's doing the show 3 days. We're doing every pick, but night one is going to be, I got booted for Micah Parsons and CJ Stroud, which, that makes sense, ooh, I guess.
Very interesting.
But it's all good. I'm doing, the cool thing is, and it's the part of draft I really like, is day two and day three.
Right.
That's where you make a football team. Like,
right.
You can get a franchise player on night one, but at the end of the day, your football team is built on these guys. They're going to, the football team lives on their backs. And so I'm excited to get to talk about that because I don't know if we're going to see a running back get picked in the first round. I don't know if we're going to get to see, I don't know how many defensive players in general are going to go in the first round of this draft with all the offensive linemen, the wide receivers, and then obviously the quarterback conundrum. So I feel pretty comfortable with it. And it also means I get to spend a little bit more time with my family before I fly up to the city.
All right, good. Well, here's the thing about the draft for me, because the Panthers with 33, 39, and then at the top around three, they're not going to get involved in the quarterback, offensive tackle, wide receiver mess from round one. But I am curious. I want to start
they
with
could.
What. Yeah, they're not trading into the I've said this before. If the Panthers trade into round one, the franchise is doomed because that means that David Tepper's making that decision.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you, but I do see that if you have 33 and 39, that's enough capital to put you into the first round. And now what would they go after in that first round? I don't know. Maybe it's one of these wide receivers, but at the end of the day, like if you're a Panthers fan, I would be worried that could be what happened.
Right. No, I nothing would surprise me, but it would make me angry as a Panthers fan, because the whole point, like I talk about this all the time, bad ownership will never win.
Right.
And that to me is bad ownership. They need bodies. More than anything, they need multiple players. I would consider trading out of 33 if I got two, like, third round picks for it.
Yeah.
If I were the Panthers, more so than trading two picks to get up into the first round. Real quick, even though the Panthers are likely not going to get either of these guys, rank the top three wide receivers for me in your eyes.
All right, top three for me. I go number one is Marvin Harrison Jr. Okay. And the reason I do that is because it's not just his skill set, right? It's not just his production. It's also, and this is why I don't think he's as good as Larry Fitzgerald. I don't know if he'll ever be as good as Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
But much like Larry Fitzgerald, he grew up in a locker room.
Uh-huh.
He grew up in the NFL. So all the trappings of guys like Laquon Treadwell or any other wide receiver that we see not pan out because they don't understand how to work in the NFL, they don't understand how to be, like, that it's a business and they don't understand all those things, he doesn't have those. And I think that might be the best quality that he has. It's not just that he understands route running, he understands work ethic, he understands how to get open. It's also, he understands this is a business, this
right.
is my job, I have to show up to my job, I have to get my job done. And that's a cool thing. And I saw the Marty Smith interview with him and his father, and his dad said he should ask for the ball more. And he was like, that's not a thing. And I was like,
right.
Okay, well, it could be a you thing. When you get into year two, three, four, and five, and you're clearly the best player on the team, which is what Marvin Harrison had to wait to do, was once he realized I need to get the ball more than five times a game for Peyton Manning, and now I can yell at Peyton Manning. That's an interesting dynamic. So Marvin Harrison Jr. one.
Right.
I go with Roma Dunze at two. I love this kid's game. I love that he has a complete game, a complete route tree, complete catalog. You put on his tape, you put on anything that he does, and there is a screen followed by a dig, followed by a post, followed by a post corner, followed by a takeoff, followed by a shallow cross. Like, he can do everything in your playbook. And so he's number two for me. Three is Neighbors. Neighbors is incredibly – he's a slot guy that has the size of an outside guy, which makes him incredibly terrifying, like, as a defensive back. Like, the idea that a guy can do everything that little guys do, but he does it at the size that he is crazy. And so that's how I would put them. And I don't think the Patriots are going to get – either one of them.
Right.
But there's still a lot of good wide receivers that'll be on the board in the second round, depending on how. I think we're going to see two. Well, I think we're going to see three runs starting tonight. The first run will be on quarterbacks.
Right.
The second run is going to probably be on wide receivers. The third run is going to be on offensive linemen. And you can switch the order around wide receiver, offensive line, but I think those are going to be the three runs that we see tonight. I think it's going to be a rough night for defense. And as a defensive guy, I'm kind of glad that I don't have to, like, just sit around and, like, wait. So. It's going to be really interesting.
Dallas Turner's probably going to be the first defensive guy off the board. We agree, right?
Yeah, Dallas Turner. Probably the next one will be probably Terrion Arnold from Alabama, too. Alabama got
cornerback,
the final, the corner. And, like, I don't know if we're going to get to see – I don't know if Cooley – I'm hoping – and this sounds bad. I want Cooley McKittrick to get picked in the first round.
Adam Gold here with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Are most of your clients hands-on, or they just give you their money and let it work for them?
About 90% give the money, and then we meet every year and go through status reports, have a financial pit stop, making sure everything's fine. It is like a puzzle, Adam, but for the next 10 of you, we'll solve your own retirement puzzle at no cost or obligation.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
But if I get a chance to talk about him on Friday, I'm going to love that for me. But that's selfish, and I don't want to be selfish. I hope he gets picked in the first round. And you have guys like Chop Robinson that are going to be in there. So this is going to be a really interesting draft. Like, I think about Jeremiah Trotter, right? This is a guy that we know is a really good linebacker. Yeah. And people, like, everyone expects him to just sit around till day two because they're so worried about all these offensive, whether it's the pair from Washington, the pair from Penn State, the guys from Alabama. Yep. You got all these guys, and then you also throw in all these wide receivers. And it's going to be really interesting to see what this looks like. Oh, and by the way, people are saying that there might be six quarterbacks taken in the first round, which is crazy.
It is crazy. I'm a big Michael Penix fan. I actually think he's the fourth best quarterback. I am not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. Mike Felder at In the Bleachers, you are Mr. Football here. Even though quarterback's not something I wanted to really hit on, but
sure, let's do it.
How do you rank those?
I think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback.
Okay.
I think that he played for an NFL coach, which, again, we talked about it with Marvin Harrison Jr., but also here, it's this idea that you work in this system and you understand what's going to be asked of you, so you understand it. I think Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick. I think we all agree on that. That's the consensus. Caleb Williams will be drafted number one. I think he's the second best quarterback. And then I think Michael Penix is number three. Drake May is four for me, but here's the question. Do you trust Penix and his injury history? Because Drake May doesn't have that. So if that's a problem for you, then you flip those guys. That's fine.
Right.
If May's three for you and Penix is four, especially because of the injury situation or because of Drake May not having as many weapons, because again, we're talking about Polk, McMillan, and Adunze, Penix, and Drake May didn't have that. So I understand if people have those guys flipped. That doesn't bother me. And then we start to get into the Bo Nix and the J.J. McCarthy of it all. And I don't – like, Bo Nix for me really showed – he showed really well to be at five for me. Five.
That's five, yeah.
Yeah, and then J.J. McCarthy. And the question then becomes, did Michigan not let him do stuff or did Michigan not trust him to do stuff? And those are two completely different questions.
Yep.
And, like, I think about that a lot. Like, you know, you're a dad, I'm a dad. Like, there's stuff I will not let my kids do because I don't trust them. Like, use the stove because she's six. And there's stuff I don't believe she can do.
Right.
Right? Like, those are two different things. Like, one feels like it's going to damage, like, our house or our family. The other one is like, this is just not a thing you can do. So, yeah.
Mike Felder is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. I don't know, man. I think your daughter, much like her dad, is kind of a savant. Interior offensive line. Let's just say centers. Because that's another position I think that the Panthers are likely to target. Is the best center Barton, Graham Barton from Duke, even though he played tackle last year, he played center before, and everybody lists him as a center. Is he center one? And how many centers are likely to go in round one? Because the Panthers definitely want to look at somebody like that for the future as well.
So here's the thing. And this is the craziest part, and one of the things with interior offensive line is you have no idea where these guys are going to end up, because there's so many guys that play guard that can kick into center, and there's so many guys that play guard that cannot do that.
Right.
And so we're looking at it, and everything gets labeled. Listen, I'm going through this draft doc and everything, trying to get ready for tomorrow for myself, and it's IOL. It's always listed as IOL, interior offensive lineman. Except what they don't realize is that snapping is important. So I think you're right about the kid from Duke. I do think the Bortolini kid from Wisconsin is going to be an interesting guy in the mix as well. And then you get to Coleman from TCU. And so what we're looking at is, like, can you snap? Can you consistently snap? Because if a snap's a problem, snap's the first thing that happens every play.
Yep.
And if that's your problem, you've got a real, in the words of, like, in, like, yeah, you've got a really big problem. I was going to say Peg Plus Cat, which is a TV show on PBS Kids that says, we've got a really big problem. And so it's one of those things. I'm curious about this kid, Mason McCormick from South Dakota State, where he fits into the mix. Is he a late day two, early day three guy? Where does he fit? How much do people actually like him? And this is going to be really interesting this year, because that's a position. Oh, the other guy from BC. The BC kid, I think he could play center, and I think that BC, regardless of who is coaching there, their track record for offensive linemen is immaculate.
Offensive line, defensive line, it's just amazing what linemen are like coming out of Boston College. Mike Felder is joining us, our Mr. Football. All right, wheelhouse for you, cornerback. You already talked about you hope Kool-Aid McKinstry is there so you can talk about him on Friday. I've been addicted to ESPN's got a mock draft simulator. I've done at least 20. I'm not kidding. I'm not even that into it, but I am addicted to that. And if McKinstry or Rakestraw has been there, I have been all over that at even 33, if not 39, or 39, if not 33. How many of these guys are legit good shutdown corners that the Panthers should jump on early in round two?
That's the thing. I don't know how many are legit shutdown corners. I really don't. Like, I don't think there many are. Like, listen, we mentioned BC just a second ago. I think Elijah Jones is a really good corner. I think he's a lot more Josh Norman, right, than J.C. Horn.
Okay.
And that means he can play zone. And if you play him in three, you play him in two, he's going to make plays. He's going to make plays off of his space because he's got a really good eye for seeing through to the quarterback. Obviously, I know he got hurt for the last four games of the season, but I like him. I like Mike Samers, though. I think he might be the steal of the draft. And he is what everybody thought Jabril Peppers was going to be.
Okay.
So I love Mike Sanders still coming out of Michigan. Quinyon Mitchell is interesting. Kid out of Toledo, again, very good zone corner. He plays great in cover three, sees through to the quarterback again. Fits into that, like, he's long, like when Kevin King was coming out of Washington, ended up at Green Bay, taking round one. I think Cooper DeJean, if Cooper DeJean's there, take him. Like, he's incredibly talented. Like, I think he's a plus-up Desmond King. And there's just a lot of guys. Like, I'm looking at my spreadsheet right now. This is one of the first things that I do. I've got Dwight McGluthern from Arkansas, probably going to be a third round guy, but he's someone that reminds me of Ambry Thomas coming out of Michigan, where he had flashes and now we have to see consistency. DJ James from Auburn, I absolutely love. Like, you can tell that this is the thing that I spend the most time on.
Yeah. It's your wheelhouse, man.
I love him. I think DJ James is better than Nehemiah Pritchett. They're both Auburn corners. Pritchett is faster, but DJ James is more aggressive, and he does fit a little bit more into that J.C. Horn mold, and he's someone that wants to fight. Like, he will fight you, and I like that about him. So it's going to be really interesting to see where all these guys kind of fall and where they fit. And I just think, like, obviously Terry Arnold will be off the board, and I hope Kool-Aid's off the board, but if he's not, you better believe we might go long on that segment.
Excellent. On Bleacher Report with Michael Felder at In the Bleachers. Defensive tackle. When we talk about premium positions in the NFL, like, I think we're starting to call defensive tackles premium positions. When you see the amount of money that Chris Jones gets and that Aaron Donald got and some other guys are getting, I think it's obvious that it's a premium position. Quinnen Williams of the Jets. Who are the best defensive tackles? Will more than one go in the first round?
Man, I don't think more than one is going to go in the first round. And when you look at it, the problem with the defensive tackle position, I guess, is, like, yes, you have the Mims kid from, or not Mims, Mims is the OT. You have the Newton kid from Illinois.
Right.
Which I don't know where you, like, it's frustrating because he's only 6 feet tall. Like, what are we going to do?
Right.
But I guess you can sit him, like, most, but teams aren't playing. So there used to be this traditional style, right, of the 3-4, the traditional style of the 4-3, where you had a guy set on that center, and he would either eat a double team or just move the center around.
Right.
And now we're seeing these teams play with more penetration. So I don't know what we're going to look at from that position, because when you look at these guys play, they're way more athletic than they've ever been.
Yep.
For starters. And they are being asked to do more than they've ever been asked. Like Christian Boyd from Northern Iowa is a guy that is kind of under the radar, but he's an assignment player. Like, he will split a gap. He'll make himself skinny, go do a thing. Mike Hall, another guy that coming out of Ohio State, he played out of position at Ohio State. He won't go in the first round, but he played out of position at Ohio State, and they played him at a zero, or they played him at a shade. And instead, this guy's going to play three. He, to me, is like a knockoff Grady Jarrett.
Okay.
That's a huge compliment. Like, the idea that, because Grady Jarrett, again, coming in to the NFL, people thought he was undersized. People thought he didn't have a position. You plugged him in at that three in Atlanta, and all of a sudden he is getting penetration. He's causing a problem. As you mentioned, it's becoming a position of real value because there's danger. Everybody spends so much money on this quote unquote edge. And what you don't realize is when teams are spending money on tackles, they're spending less money on guards. So if you're spending less money on guards and less money on centers, then you get guys that are really good in the interior. Those guys are better.
Yep.
So they can split gaps, make plays, create pressure from the interior, flush the quarterback, and now you're that defensive end you spent a ton of money on. Now he gets to make a play, but he's making that play because of the other guy.
All right, let me ask you about two more players, and we'll let Mike Felder go and get his spreadsheets ready, get ready for the draft, which he will not be involved on Bleacher Report until tomorrow because
– Tomorrow.
Micah Parsons wanted to be pulled.
It's fine. Yeah, Micah Parsons, CJ Stroud, my buddy Adam Lefko and Mike Renner are going to be. It's going to be a really good show.
Oh,
I'm super excited to watch it.
It'd be better with you on it, but that's fine.
That's too many people. That's too many people, and it's too many people that don't do TV on the regular.
Got it.
That I have a really hard time with, like, not speaking a format. So it's a good idea to, like, bring me in when it's just three TV guys.
You would hate this show then. I haven't stayed on time or on format for forever. I've been doing this for 26 years now. But tomorrow I'll be able to watch. I have a hockey game I have to concentrate on tonight. I love Braden Fiske. I don't know how to pronounce his name, from Florida State. I think that guy is impossible to move. I want you to tell me about him. And on the low, I kind of dig Dwayne Carter from Duke. What do you think of those two players?
I was watching Spectrum, and they did a feature on him. And I was like, let me go back and watch this guy. And I love him. Like, he's
Carter.
Speaking of Carter, Carter is, Spectrum's not going to do a feature on a kid from Florida State. I really like him. I think that for him, I think he's probably a three technique. He might be able to play, like, if you're playing in two twos, he can do that. Fisk is interesting to me because he's a guy from Indiana that obviously ends up at Florida State. The thing for me is his athleticism test off the charts.
Yeah.
And he's not big. Like, he at the combine, he was under 300 pounds.
Right.
So even though he is hard to move, it's like he's college, not hard. He's college hard to move, but at 6 foot four, 292, that becomes a guy that I still want to move out to that 2-3-4 space.
Right.
Because I don't want him sitting over top of the center where that guard can come down on him.
Like, could he be a 3-4 defensive end, which are basically a defensive tackle anyway?
Yes, exactly. That was the thing I was that's the thing I was gonna bring up next. Is this guy? That's why I said four. I think he could play a five. He might, even if he lost. You know, listen. There's different positions. Some positions come in and they weigh in heavy at the combine. Some positions come in and they weigh in light at the combine. I think that he weighed in. I think 292 is heavy for him. So if this guy's actually gonna play football at 287, now all of a sudden we've got a 6'4" guy with 31-inch arms that can play a five, and I think that will be really fun.
All of it's fun. I will be watching you on Friday night. Mike Felder at In the Bleachers. Hit the Substack, and It's Felder is always awesome. My friend, I will talk to you later.
All right, man. You take it easy.
You got it. Mr. Football, Mike Felder. From now on, when we Chiron on the screen for Mike Felder, Mr. Football.
Mm-hmm.
I want the same thing for Brian Geisinger, Mr. Basketball.
I know.
I just think we need to brand them.
Nicknames, yeah.
We need to brand them. Mm-hmm. Like we have Trip Tracy coming on in about a little over a half hour. Mr. Hockey. No, Mr. Hockey's been taken.
Yeah.
That's Gordie Howe. I apologize to Gordie Howe.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medication secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.